We're back, and we're being joined by travel journalist Hans Tamamagi and another Destination Canada report. Good morning, Hans.
Good morning, Roy. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Always a pleasure. You always share such great information with our audiences, Hans. It's great to have you back. We always look forward to the next version.
Well, you know, Roy, I can't tell you how excited I am about today. Parliament Hill in Ottawa, Canada, holds a really special place in my heart, and I'm just dying to talk to you about it and describe it to your listeners.
Well, you know, your article is titled Parliament Hill, the Heart and Soul of Canada, and in your opening sentence you say, on Canada Day, there is no place I'd rather be than in Ottawa amongst the exuberant crowd on Parliament Hill.
Well, I think that sums it up. On Parliament Hill on Canada Day is the one time when we Canadians let loose and actually show some of our nationalistic fervor. There are crowds. There's about 500,000 people crammed into Parliament Hill and the surrounding streets. There are buskers. There are bands. Everybody's wearing red and white. The people have tattoos on them and the Canadian flag. And everybody is smiling and happy. It's just a delightful time.
And you say you get about, approximately 100,000 people during this celebration.
There's 100,000 just on Parliament Hill itself, and there must be another almost 500,000 stirring around on the streets nearby. Wonderful, wonderful happening.
And then, of course, you say that the elegant horse-drawn carriages escorted by Royal Canadian Mounted Police bring the governor to the hill.
Yes, the Governor General is brought to the hill and is the kind of the patron of honor of the celebration that day, and she is only one of many dignitaries that come. Of course, the Prime Minister and many cabinet ministers and many other famous entertainment stars and others also show up. Not to mention people like you and me.
Well, now I understand that Ottawa was not the first choice for the capital. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Back in the 1850s, the capital of the the colony of Canada was actually shared by three cities, Montreal, Toronto, and Kingston. And each year, it rotated from one place to the other. You can imagine the turmoil that caused and moving all the archives and records and politicians each year from one city to another. So finally, Queen Victoria put an end to all this and chose one of them, and they're all expecting one of the big three to be chosen. But in order, I guess, not to hurt the feelings of the losers, Ottawa was chosen. And it was just a tiny little run-down
frontier settlement.
Barely that, It was a totally, I guess everybody felt it was a disastrous choice, but that it started the great Canadian tradition of compromise.
And I guess at that point, when they started building all of these Gothic structures, there must have been some comments about whether it made any sense or not, I should think.
Oh, absolutely. The Gothic buildings were wonderful, big, majestic, soaring buildings, and here they were in this rough and tumble little lumber town,
right.
that had dirt streets, brothels, and taverns, and in fact, the one person summed it up very beautifully when he said that Ottawa is a small town with incongruously beautiful buildings crowning its insignificance.
And you go on to say that someone said that these buildings have been described as the finest pile of stones in Canada.
Yes. The buildings are absolutely magnificent, Roy. You have to be there, and you can spend hours and hours just wandering around the hill looking at this wonderful Gothic structure. They soar heavenward, so that there's really a kind of a majestic, almost religious feeling about them, and yet on the other hand, they're very light and whimsical in some ways. There's very little symmetry. There's kind of an overall large-scale symmetry. But when you look in detail, there's all sorts of lack of symmetry and actually whimsy to it. I mean, some of the archways and doors have just got one arch after another piled on top of each other. So, it almost looks like a bishop's hat or something
right.
Like that.
I saw the photos. Absolutely fabulous photos. And of course, we hear the buildings also reflect the British tradition of Parliament, right?
Yes. The It's very much designed on a British system. In fact, the British Parliament buildings are also done in the Gothic style, and the Canadian parliamentary system is designed right after that. It has dozens and dozens of absolutely arcane, weird traditions built into it. Like, you know, the sergeant of arms is actually the person that enforces order in the buildings. And he wears a three-corner hat, a tricorn hat. He carries a big mace around, a golden mace, and things like that. And it goes on and on like that.
Well, can we, let's just go through the buildings. How, the major buildings, what, there are three?
Well, actually, there's four. There's three main blocks, of which center block is the main one. And it's six stories high,
right.
A huge tower called the Peace Tower in front of it. And it houses both the House of Commons and the Senate chambers. On each side of it, flanking it at right angles, so it forms kind of the three sides of a quadrangle, are the East and West Block. These were originally built to house the entire civil service of Canada. Now I think it takes about 3,000 buildings to house them all. They were optimistic in those days.
Exactly.
And behind the center block is a library. The library is kind of a circular design with flying buttresses and a large peak at the top, and it's considered to be the finest building in Canada. It's architecturally,
right.
It's absolutely magnificent, inside and out. It's beautiful inside as well.
Now, so there's the Peace Tower,
mm-hmm.
And you're saying that your favorite is the... Now, just going back to the Peace Tower, they say it's been called the holiest place on Canadian soil because of the it commemorates those who died in the First World War, I think.
The Peace Tower itself is tall and slender, and it has a number of things in it, including a carillon, which is but also it has in it the memorial chamber, which commemorates not only the end of the First World War, but all the wars prior to that as well.
That have come, yeah.
Yeah, and of course the Peace Tower was built because the center block burnt down during the First World War. So it was rebuilt just during the end and just after the First World War. So it was a time of great suffering and sadness for all the men lost and all the lives lost during the wars. So that particular chamber is very touching. Just absolutely touching and moving to be in there.
You go on to say that that your favorite is the East Block.
Yes.
Why is that?
The East Block is a bizarre building in a wonderful way. It's been really well preserved from the original days. It not only houses four special rooms that have been totally reconstructed in the era of the 1860s, including the Privy Council, the Cabinet Chamber, beautifully reconstructed rooms, but down below in the basements, when I was auditing and inspecting these places, I discovered down there there's old vaults that are no longer used, but some of the remnants of the doors of the vaults and some of the bars and grates are still down there. And they used to house all the gold bullion that passed through Canada. It was kind of what the Bank of Canada in the old days.
Like our Fort Knox.
Something like that, yeah. And during the Second World War, for example, all of the payments in gold that Britain made to the United States to pay for the arms and munitions came through Canada and were stored down in that basement. So billions of dollars worth of gold passed through that place.
Amazing.
You know, I can imagine the stories and the ghosts would tell about that place.
And is this where they had the stone carvings, the gargoyles, and all of that? Or?
Well, the stone carvings are one of my favorite things about the hill, and they're actually all through all of the buildings and decorate the outsides and insides of all the buildings.
Right.
You know, Roy, that they actually have had all through history of these buildings an official carver. He's called, his title is a Dominion Sculptor, and he or she has a staff of trained carvers, and they carve and are continuously adding more and more stone carvings to the buildings, and some of them are just delightful, just delightful.
And stained glass windows, and you know, those sorts of things, and it's terrific. Now, you did a book on the hill, didn't you? How'd you come about doing that?
Well, Roy, I'm glad you asked me. That really was one of the highlights of my career. I had so much fun. I was actually, my other business, my other career other than writing is being an environmental a scientist and an environmental consultant, and I was hired to do environmental audits of the Parliament buildings, actually on three different occasions.
How terrific.
It was wonderful. I got, because of my job, I had to inspect every nook and cranny in the buildings, you know, in case there was asbestos or PCBs or bad chemicals or things like that.
Right.
And so I climbed up every single tower. I went up every turret. I went inside every closet. I went down every tunnel, and the place is riddled with tunnels underneath. Very fascinating place. There's lots of ghosts on the hill, believe me, Roy.
A little spooky. Did you have somebody holding your hand, or did you do this on your own?
I pretty well did it by myself. I was escorted most times by some of their technical and mechanical people.
Right, people, yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you, it was scary. And fascinating. But in addition to that, I got permission from the authorities to have pretty well free access to the buildings and the people inside. So I got to interview the Dominion sculptor, the Dominion musician who plays the carillon, the chef that cooks for the politicians.
How wonderful.
And yeah, for 2 years I had unlimited run of the building. I had a pass, I could just go in and out. You know, those are security paranoia that came in with 9/11. So it was a wonderful time of my life.
And the book is called Exploring the Hill, A Guide to Canada's Parliament, Past and Present.
Yes, it is, Roy.
That's terrific.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun writing that book. That really was just a fabulous experience and a wonderful time.
Now, so although the hill is a special place for all seasons, as you had, but for you, the very best moment comes on July 1st, Canada Day.
Yes, it does.
Hans, that's absolutely terrific. Great article for those listening and or those have access to their computer while they're listening. You can go to Destination Canada and bring up Hans's article with some absolutely spectacular photos of these buildings we've just talked about. Hans, thank you very much, and we wish you a happy and prosperous new year, and we look forward to your next visit.
Okay, Roy. Well, it's been a pleasure, as always, talking travel with you, and all the best for the new year to you, too.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Hans Tamamagi, always a great story, always an interesting gentleman, and we hope to have him back soon. Let's see where we're at here. Next week, we're going to do a pre-recorded show, so I can't tell you who the guests will be, because there won't be any, and... you can always check out our program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. So this is Roy Lowy wishing everyone a happy and prosperous New Year, and Dr. Sullivan.
I had a great time, Roy. I now know how to pack, when I buy my boat, to go on the Great Circle and stop off to see Canada.
Well, that's not bad for a day, is it?
It was a great day. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. And... this is Roy Lowy once again saying we'll see you soon.
Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.